I want you to look again tonight, and I want you to look at verse 2, but in particular, I want you to take notice of this very familiar expression, I think, that just about everybody here. He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. By the way, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's not what you hear from a lot of television preachers, nor do you get the first three words, preach the word. Amen? We're supposed to preach the word. But the expression that's familiar to most of you here, I'm sure, the seven-word statement he makes to Timothy when he says, be instant, in season, out of season. In other words, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, a good Christian is supposed to be instant. Now, you say, Pastor, what exactly does the word instant mean? Well, in Paul's day, it was basically a military term that literally meant to stand. It meant sort of to stay at your post. And of course, Paul has already told Timothy, back in chapter 2 and verse 3, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He also said in verse 4, no man that warreth goes to war, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee. That's another military term. I charge thee, therefore, before God. He's speaking as one soldier to an officer to another soldier and telling him to be instant, to stand, be standing at your post, and to do so, what does it say, regardless of the season. By the way, the words in season in the Greek here are eukarios. It means when it's convenient. Out of season is akarios, which means when it's inconvenient. So that you see, the charge, the command, if you will, is to make sure that you are standing at your post, that you are doing your duty where you're called. Make sure you fulfill those duties, whether it's seasonable or unseasonable, whether it's convenient to do so or whether it's inconvenient to do so. And the reason we should do this, in part, is because, guess what? We can. The last verse of the previous chapter says that through the Bible, we can be truly furnished, completely prepared unto every good work. So, rain or shine, sickness or health, Mondays or Fridays, summer or winter, bull market or bear market, good times, bad times, win or lose, in poverty or in wealth, in high humidity and in low humidity, whatever that is. So hot in Florida, the cows are producing evaporated milk, amen? But in season and out of season, Timothy, preach the word, and all of us can live the word when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. All of us here tonight can be at our post, standing for the Lord, obeying our great commission in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice the last two words of verse 1, His kingdom. You see, folks, we belong as soldiers to His kingdom. Some time ago, I heard a speech at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and at the very end, the speaker used the familiar Latin word, Semper Fi. It's the shortened form, of course, of Semper Fidelis, Latin for always faithful. And I remember when he spoke those words at the very end of his speech, the entire crowd of Marines there shouted with pride, and understandably so, because anyone who's ever read stories of the history of the Corps has read scores, if not hundreds, of stories of Marines who just before maybe charging up a hill or just before taking a beachhead or just before their last breath, as a young man did in the Marine barracks there in Beirut, when he handed that two-word note, they've said the words, Semper Fi. And in many ways, this is what Paul is saying to Timothy in his dying words. You see, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm not just telling you what to do. I did what I say. Now, folks, this man was faithful. You talk about a man, again, who is qualified to write the words of this text. The Apostle Paul knew exactly what it was to be instant, to be at his post, whether it's in season or out of season. His very body bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to Timothy, in karyos, a karyos, whether it's convenient or it's inconvenient, whether it's in season or out of season, do your duty, do what's right, fulfill your calling, and all for the glory of God. You know what Paul did not say? He didn't say, Timothy, may the wind be always at your back. That's Pinterest. This is the Bible. Now, it's a nice sentiment, may the wind be always at your back. But what he said was, whether the wind is at your back or whether it's blowing hard straight into your face, in season or out of season, stay at your post, take your stand, and report for duty. It brings us then to two thoughts tonight I want us to consider as God's people before we leave this place. The first one, of course, concerns the charge. And the first charge that he gives to Timothy, what did he say? Be instant in season. In other words, now please hear this very carefully. When it is more convenient, when the circumstances are favorable in your life, your home, your family, when the wind is in your sails, and you're sailing along smoothly and that power is behind you, when it's in season, be faithful to God. Unless you think that that's necessarily the easy time to do what's right, not to lose faith, to remain faithful. Let me remind you of the nation of Israel. Let me remind you of the church at Ephesus or of King David. When people are at ease in Zion, they face a whole different set of temptations than we would otherwise. And so God says, be faithful. When it's in season and the bills are paid and your job is secure and your health is good and the blessings of God are evident around you, whenever it is a convenient season, make sure, beloved, you stay at your post. You hold to your convictions. You be true to your God. Several years ago, Rob Arrington, many years ago, loaded his boat up to go to the Bahamas. And he asked me, hey, Pastor, you want to go to the Bahamas with me, my boat? I said, sure, Rob, I want to go on the high seas with you in that canoe. Just pointed there towards France. And let's go, Rob, and we'll have fun in the Bermuda Triangle with Rob Arrington and the waves get up. Dude, I'm so stoked. Yeah, I want to do that tomorrow, Rob. Actually, I didn't do it with him. But he was very excited. He was stoked because he was going fishing. And you know why he's going fishing? Because something, whatever it is over there, was in season. And the in season made him excited. Of course it did. It's a good season. I remember in East Tennessee when we lived there and served the Lord, all the hunters, I could tell when it was hunting season because turkey season or deer season, they had a spring in their step. They started wearing camo socks and their wives were grouchy looking, but they were happy looking. You could always tell excitement of the in season. Everybody likes the in season. I like football season. I look forward to it. Mom likes strawberry season. And Aubrey likes snook season. All of us here like the snowbird season to end. Amen? That's not all snowbirds. I love snowbirds, the ones who come to Beacon Baptist in the winter and tithe. Amen? But everybody likes the in season, including sometimes the devil himself. You know why? Because for a lot of believers, that's when their guard is let down. That's when, I don't need Wednesday night church. I don't need Sunday night church. I mean, I'm busy. I got to make hay while the sun shines, and it's shining right now. And man, I just really need to get it. And that's when sometimes it is easier to get your eyes off of the Lord and on the blessings of the Lord instead. I once observed that even something as small as a dime can obscure something as large as the sun if it's held close enough to your eyes. Blessings obscure our view sometimes of the blesser, and that's very, very dangerous. And folks, it is so important, in fact, it's critical, necessary, that whenever it's the in season, whenever your sailing is easy and the fruit seems to abound, vital to be instant then. That's why Paul says, Timothy, when it's in season, be faithful. Paul said in Philippians 4:12, I know. I know also how to abound. Didn't he say that? I know how to abound. I've learned, he said, how to be full. Unless we be like the children of Israel, of whom it was said they were full. And while the flesh was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came. God had blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. Unless we be as they, let us be instant in the season, whenever the blessings abound. Spurgeon said, many a man, when set up on a pinnacle, finds his head to grow dizzy until he is ready to fall. And folks, that need not be. For we are charged to be instant in season. Many, many years ago, one of our church members in Tennessee had an amazing succession of good fortune and blessing. His business skyrocketed. He got married finally after a long dry season of trying. A beautiful godly woman. He moved into a huge house from his little starter home he'd been in all of his life nearly, and everything was going right. And so I watched him. I was a young preacher, and I watched him, and surprisingly, I must confess, he even got busier, more zealous for the Lord. He didn't quit any ministries. He didn't start fading out of church. He didn't let his business become first in his life. He actually became even more faithful to the Lord than ever. So I'm a young guy. I want to learn. And I came to him and I said, I need to meet with you. And we did, and we had lunch. And I said, tell me something. So many times when Christians are greatly blessed, as you've been, so quickly, and things go well, they lose their first love. And a lot of times, when it's times of trial and affliction, that's when they start coming back and serving God and getting right with God. What is the deal with you? You've gotten more excited for the Lord after about 15 months of God's blessing. And here's what he said to me. He said, well, you know what? He said, Jim, are there going to be any trials and sufferings in heaven? I said, no. Is it going to be all blessing in heaven? I said, pretty much, yeah. He said, well, I'm just practicing for heaven then. You know what he was doing? He was allowing the goodness of God to lead him to repentance. And why can't we do that when the Bible says that's what the goodness of God ought to do? We are commanded to be instant in season. Even at the top of the pinnacle, we can be faithful to our post. The second thing you'll notice, of course, is that we are also commanded, number two, to be instant out of season. That simply means to be faithful, to be on your duty, to be at your post, even when it's not convenient. In fact, look at the entire text, would you? Verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all a long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, now think about it. There's coming a time, Paul says, there's coming a time, Timothy, when it's not going to be so easy. Verse 4 says that people will turn away their ears from the truth. People will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time, Timothy, when people will not care what you say or what you believe. So what do you do, Timothy? Report for duty. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. I've told our young people in Sunday school that faithfulness and love is not demonstrated between two people when they're on the beach under a full moon and the balmy breeze gently blows her blonde hair into her soft face and the sound of waves is crashing on the shore as the warm sand courses between their toes and the fragrance of Chanel catches in the breeze. As the moonbeam suddenly reflects off his steely blue eyes and he whispers in your ear, darling. Actually, probably more like, I'm going to go to Sonny's, get some ribs. I don't know. That's what our guys would do. You know, that moment, oh, that's not the test of faithfulness or of love. The real test will come, I remind the young people, when years after the wedding, years in the midst of morning sickness. It's not the sound of waves crashing in. It's the sound of heaving once again. It's not the fragrance of Chanel that you smell. It's, you get the idea, right? There's a test. This is a test of faithfulness. Show me a man who changes a diaper on a bench in the mall while his wife is shopping, trying shoes on. He's happy to do it even though the playoffs are on. And I'll show you a man who is henpecked. No. That's a man who is instant out of season. Spiritually, the question is this: what are you going to do when the creek dries up? Because it's going to dry up someday. What are you going to do when the going gets really tough? When the wind is out of your sails and you're standing there, the pirates and the sailors in ancient days called it the doldrums. Those were terrifying moments, and you could sit there for days baking in the sun. What are you going to do when people let you down? When bad news is followed by worse news? When it's raining all the time, every day? What are you going to do as a child of God when the majority rejects the truth that you're preaching? When if you stand up and say something simple that's true, as we mentioned this morning, you're thrown in jail in Great Britain? Well, I can tell you what God calls us to do, commands us to do. He commands us to be instant, out of season. He says, report for duty. When Elizabeth Prentice suffered the tragic loss of her two children, it was finally, for her, almost too much for her to bear. You see, she had already been an invalid most of her adult life. She had already known the experience of chronic pain throughout her body most of her life. Already she knew the feeling of people's accusations against her that somehow her suffering was her own doing. She was a pastor's wife who apparently to some must have lacked faith to suffer as she did. And yet all of her life and always she faced those trials with cheer and optimism and triumphant faith. But then the loss of her two children, that was just too much. She wrote in her diary these words: empty hands, a worn out, exhausted body, and unutterable longings to flee from a world that has so many sharp experiences. Elizabeth Prentice was definitely that night out of season. And so if you know her diary, you know that night and the days following, she read the scriptures and she cried out to God, and she cried and she cried and she cried, as the scripture says, till you could cry no more. But she remained faithful. One night she penned these very familiar words: more love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This then my song shall be, more love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. In the last stanza she wrote, then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. It wasn't easy. It was out of season. But that dear woman stayed at her post. May I say, the reason she did is the same reason you and I can do so. It's the same reason that Paul was faithful. Look again at verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Elizabeth Prentice is there, but here's the key: to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, there's the motivation from the commander of chief: to him be the glory, right? Tonight, if your health or your finances or your job situation or your relationships have become a burden in your life, God knows that. He knows you're out of season. But you know what he says? Out of season, you can be instant. You can stay at your post, semper fi, always faithful, in season, out of season. Some of you may remember the purges against apostasy that occurred a few years ago in the late 90s in Iran. Dozens of Christians were murdered at that time. One of those men was Mehdi Dibaj, a man who was accused of apostasy. He was forced to abandon his wife, his family. He was placed in jail for 9 years. Most of you have the handout. I had him pass out earlier tonight. Eventually, however, he was released from prison, and as soon as he was, he had a death sentence put on his head. It was a fatwa. A religious edict was published in the Tehran newspaper that called for his execution, and it wasn't very long after, when he was released, he was found murdered in a park. 65 years of age, his four children still remain true to Christ. His wife, Aziza, had been threatened with stoning and was forced to marry a government-appointed spouse. When Mehdi was called to appear before the Tehran court, this was the testimony that was recorded, and it was recorded because it was given and presented in the paper in Tehran as a confession. Supposedly, this is the indictment against him of his crimes and his blasphemy against Islam. Perhaps this week or tonight you'll read it in its entirety, and I encourage you to, but I want to read a single paragraph, the closing words that he spoke. Think about this fact. He spoke these words to a hostile court of Muslim imams and judges. Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. Whosoever entereth through me shall be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Among the prophets of God, only Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he is our living intercessor forever. He is our Savior, and he is the Son of God. To know him means to know eternal life. I, a useless sinner, have believed in his beloved person and all his words and miracles recorded in the gospel, and I have committed my life into his hands. Life for me is an opportunity to serve him, and death is a better opportunity to be with Christ. Therefore, I am not only satisfied to be in prison for the honor of his holy name, but I'm ready to give my life for the sake of Jesus, my Lord." You know what, ladies and gentlemen? That's not an indictment. That's a testimony. That is the true witness of a man who was instant, in season, and out of season. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, you'll notice, writes this. This know also that in the last days a perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In other words, Timothy, difficult times are ahead. And whatever in season you're standing in today, you'll soon need to stand in the off-season as well. Back in 1984, I had been hired as a youth pastor there in Knoxville, Tennessee. The school administrator, who I'd known for many years, we worked together up in Michigan as well, which is why he knew to hire me later. And so I got down there. He wanted to take our family way up in the mountains of East Tennessee. He wanted to show me his boyhood home. He grew up in Newport, just outside of Newport, Tennessee. But then he wanted to take me farther up into the hills to meet someone. It wouldn't tell me who it was. This someone, I found out as we got there, was an old, old woman, way up into the hills, past all civilization. I got carsick. Rick was a little boy. He came along. Louise, of course. And we got there. I'm trying to figure out why we're going all the way to meet this person. We got to her place. It was basically a log house with a few outbuildings, and she was incredibly self-sufficient. When Scott introduced me, he said, "Brother Jim, say hello to Miss Opal. This is the actual mission that inspired the book Christie by Catherine Marshall. This is Miss Opal, and hopefully you'll meet Miss Lenora, who was the real Christie." Well, unfortunately, I'd never heard of the book Christie. He thought I was going to be like, "Really?" She could tell. She said, "You never read the book, did you?" "No, ma'am." "Come on and get something to eat." She brought us in. She had a huge block of head cheese that she had made herself that included this. She says, "Got turtle meat." I passed the turtle shell in the trail walking up to her place where she got her turtle meat. So I passed on the head cheese. She showed us around. She showed us her smokehouse, her well, her cured bacon, her rain gauge, a million other things. We were walking along this one path, and Scott asked her, how do you do it, Miss Olba? How do you, your age up here, and you're still faithful, and the mission's not what it used to be? And he went through the whole thing, and you know what she said? She didn't try to wax eloquent. She said, you just do it, Scotty. We passed by a spring where she would get her water. She said, see that spring? It keeps on flowing and flowing and flowing, even if no one's here to take a drink. I still haven't read Christie. It's a junior high girl book, as far as I'm concerned. I think Ansley read it. I'm not sure. But I'll never forget that thought. I love that metaphor that God creates springs that flow and flow and give whether anybody takes a drink or not. Pastor, nobody's coming. Nobody's listening. Nobody. Stay at your post. In season and out of season. Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into your hands. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for those in our midst that are always faithful. Semper Fi, always. Thank you for those who have gone before us. Many in your word, many in our own memories, who've demonstrated that it's possible to be faithful in season and out of season. May we be among them, and may their tribe increase. Bless decisions tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.